Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes, yes, yes. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the FSP Crew Show. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. The Master, among other words and names people call me. But, as usual, here on a Thursday night with the Joker, and hopefully our resident bookie, Black the Bookie, will join us, as usual, with conversation and give you information about the crazy world of fantasy, sports, and politics. We got a great show in store for you tonight. We got the chat room that's open. It's open season as always with the chat room when I'm on the air. Any question, comment, whatever you would like to say, keep it clean though, people. I mean, you know, we can converse, we can argue, we can agree to disagree, but keep it civil. Let me put it that way. Number to call in is 347-637-3220. Again, I'll bring that back to you, 347-637-3220. We're going to be talking about the NFL, NBA, and whatever else happens to hit our minds, whether I bring it out or Jeff brings it out or one of you callers brings it out. But without further ado, let's jump into the fray and bring in my one co-host that we have. Hello, Jeff. Talk to me, my man.
Hi, Jerry. Hi, everybody. Happy to be here.
Yes. This is a Thursday before the holiday weekend, Memorial Day weekend, to bring in the summer. Kids getting out of college or out of college already. Summer officially gets kicked in after Memorial Day. We get people coming from the city, coming down to Jersey, especially the shore, and acting crazy and wilding out on the beaches of the Jersey. All I can do is tell you this: be careful, enjoy yourself, barbecue, whatever type of events that happen over the weekend from Friday until Monday. Just enjoy yourself, but be safe. There's a lot of crazy things that happen on Memorial Day weekend, and let's not you be one of them. Let's talk about this first, because I have Jeff the Joker on here, and I don't know if he heard this. He probably did already, and he probably cringed when he heard this. But Jeff, late breaking news: I found out your ace wide receiver fractured his foot, and it's out to about 12 weeks or more to heal. I don't know if you heard about this, but I'm saying that supposedly your coach says that he'll probably be close to being able to play in the season opener, but he fractured his foot. Another hiccup and injury on Hakeem Nicks. Talk to me.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, I did hear about it. I mean, I like Hakeem Nicks a lot. There's not much not to like about the guy as a receiver, but one of the few knocks on him is, you know, he's missed his share of games, and hopefully he'll heal quick. The good thing is this isn't a joint like a knee, and, you know, he's a veteran, so he knows what he's doing, and who knows, maybe it might help him down the stretch, you know, with fresh legs. But this is what magnifies the loss of Mariel Manningham. So, you know, the Giants are going to have to address the depth at wide receiver, but they drafted someone early this year, and they've drafted pretty well at wide receiver the past few years. So I doubt it, but they could bring back Plaxico. I don't think that's going to happen. I believe it or not, I was hoping they would bring back Steve Smith, but he signed with St. Louis. But like I said, they drafted someone in the second or third round, and you know, they could still add a veteran if need be. So got to be optimistic. I have a lot of faith in the Giants GM, Jerry Reese. He's built up a lot of confidence in the fans. But this is the kind of stuff, you know, things really got to fall together usually to win a championship. And then it's hard to have everything fall together 2 years in a row. So that's why you really got to savor it while you can.
Yeah. Just like you said, things fall in line. And now what happened? One of their key players goes down. Fortunately, but unfortunately, before even training camp starts, and it's early, plenty of time before the season starts. Hopefully he heals. But he is one fragile. I mean, he's a big-time wide receiver. I like Hakeem a lot. He's a big-time wide receiver, but he's got that fragile tag on him, and he can't seem to shake it. Anyway, let's stay in the NFL. Let's move a little further south. We're talking about now. We were talking about a wide receiver. Let's talk about a running back that's trying to get paid AP money, and their front office says that's not going to happen. Now the guy has been one of the most durable backs in the NFL, one of the most productive backs in the NFL, top three back arguably, passing, catching. Running, he's a three-tool back. He can do it all. I'm talking about Ray Rice, and in my opinion, I think he's getting shafted because they said he's not going to get paid AP type of money or Chris Johnson type of money. But I see Chris Johnson was not as productive. I see AP who got hurt. Ray Rice is, like I said, one of the most durable backs, and they won't pay this guy to that type of money. I don't know what to say. I mean, if anything, in my opinion, this is one guy that you pay the money because you know he's going to show up each and every week. He's not going to get hurt, and he's going to give you top production. As long as you give up opportunities, he's going to give you top production. But this is indicative of what it is nowadays. They're trying to shortchange some of these running backs because the shelf life of a running back is so short, and they when it's time for the rookie contract is up, it's time for them to get paid. If they're productive like Ray Rice has been, it's time to pay the man. I don't know how you think. McCoy got paid. Now it's time for Ray Rice to get paid. What do you think about that, Jeff?
Yeah, I concur. I mean, you know, the NFL world's a lot different than the regular world. And, you know, the real world, it's, you know, you make a deal, you go with the deal. In the NFL, you stick with your contract until you outperform the contract. And he has outperformed his contract. And he's getting screwed because he came into the league as a second-round pick, which isn't that far away from the first round, but financially it is. So he's outperformed that initial contract. He's been very productive, and if he doesn't miss camp, I could see him in some leagues, especially PPR leagues, being a first, you know, one of the first running backs off the board, if not first in some leagues. And I hate it when a guy holds out. Just, you know, from my point of view, trying to draft for fantasy. But, you know, hey, he earned it. I'd like to see him get paid. It's easy for me to say, it's not my money. You know, he's not some unproven rookie or some guy past his prime. He's performed, and looks like he's still got gas in the tank.
Oh, yeah. And There was something else I wanted to say, Jeff, and I just lost it. I can't believe I just lost my train of thought here. What was it I was going to say?
Well, the star receiver on your favorite team, Houston Texans, he had an operation,
yeah.
Andre Johnson. I mean, if that guy could return to form, that guy is almost unstoppable. Just an all-around great receiver to do it all.
Well, the problem I have here, Jeff, and I think it's going to happen this year. I think a lot of people are going to, and we're talking fantasy here, and I think a lot of people are going to over draft this guy too high. I think Andre Johnson, and I hate to say it because he's definitely on my team, my real team. I don't know if I want him on my fantasy team because I think he's becoming a little fragile. Red flags are starting to fly high on this guy because he's starting to get nicked up, and it's taking longer and longer for him to recover from the injuries that he sustains. I could be an alarmist. I could be saying that because of what's happened in the last few months with him, but I would have reservations because the fact that I drafted this guy last year high in fantasy, and he disappointed me because he got hurt and he really never really recovered from his injuries, and now he's had the knee scoped, which really bothers me. I mean, he's got plenty of time to recover before training camp and the regular season starts. But the reality is that he's starting to get nicked up more and more. And I think he's like 34 years old, somewhere around there. So I don't know how you feel, but he's on the shaky end for me. So
yeah, I agree. And that's why I prefer to have fantasy drafts about a week before the season, give or take, because it gives you more time to evaluate, those type of injury situations, because there's some drafts starting now.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's a level playing field because everyone's in the same boat, but I want to make my draft decisions based on training camp and at least a couple preseason games,
right.
You can make a better informed decision. So, and something like this, sometimes you get a feel based on the training camp, maybe a little bit from preseason, but that's a very tough call to make in May.
That's true. Oh, that I know exactly what I wanted to talked about. This crazy second year guy, you got a taste of it last year and over the last couple of seasons that the Detroit Lions are starting to become the Cincinnati Bengals. Rather than being the AFC North, these guys in the NFC North think that, well, since Cincinnati won't carry the torch, we'll carry the torch as the bad boys of the NFL. Because yet again, another player from the Detroit Lions decides to be a knucklehead and gets banned. Now, unbelievable, he gets banned from his own team. His own team don't want him around because he started a fight with, or he was in a fight with one of his fellow players, and it must have been bad enough that they won't talk about it. They just say he's banned from OTAs and any kind of team activities, and it's indefinitely. It's not like that they're giving him a time limit. Supposedly he's got a bad attitude, which is nothing new. A lot of these guys, especially wide receivers, are diva-like players, and got a bad attitude. And I guess this is one of the things that the coach the head coach Jim Schwartz is going to say, you know, I've had enough. You punched out your teammate Louis Delmas. You're not going to be around here until you straighten yourself out. Did you hear about this? And what do you think about how crazy this guy's and off the chain this guy's got?
Yeah, it sounds like Detroit's got a real eye for talent.
Knucklehead talent.
Yeah, but you know, usually I get the impression, and when you watch these shows, I haven't seen in a while, like Hard Knocks. You know, guys get ticked off, especially in training camp. They're going at the same guy all day, but usually it's just real quick, and it's not a big deal, and there's no bad blood, and nobody gets hurt, and there's no hard feelings. But once in a while, it gets a little out of hand. So, Detroit's got their share of knuckleheads.
Really? I mean, you really think so? I mean, I'm sarcastic because
it
seems like it's one thing after another, whether it's a defensive lineman or a wide receiver or Mikel LeSure getting busted for a pot. I mean, come on. This is like I said, it's reminiscent of the AFC North Bengals. Now these guys figured, well, the Bengals and Marvin Lewis have basically cleaned that team up, and you don't see any anything happening with the Bengals like they used to. Now you got the Detroit Lions doing the same stupid garbage. I don't know. I mean, these guys getting paid millions upon millions of dollars, or hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending on what position and where you were drafted at. But you're getting paid more than the average Joe. And to do some of these knucklehead moves, it's beyond me. I don't understand it. I'll never understand it. Especially the fact when you first come into the league, and I think this happens every year, you get the speech, don't you be the guy to do dumb something stupid like this or this or this or this, because there's a lot of people out there that are ready to take you down quickly, because you make a lot of money, you're high profile, and you don't get a chance for them to give their 15 minutes of fame. I don't understand it. They get the same speech every year. The rookies get the speech, and don't you be the one? And right away, these guys go out and are the one. I mean, maybe some of these guys can't deal with having so much money and having free time and just are naturally drawn to trouble. What they say, anything after 12 o'clock, you're looking for trouble or something like that. I don't know how you feel about these guys and the knucklehead moves they make.
Well, the thing is, sometimes people forget these are very young guys. A lot of these guys are in their early 20s.
Right.
And then, you know, you take a guy in his early 20s, you know, some are mature, some aren't, and then you throw a lot of money at him. You know, some of them get a big head, you know. the better player you are, the more rope you get. you know, I'm fine with that. That's based on merit, so. And it's been going on for a long time.
Yeah. Speaking of the NFL, one of your favorite players, I think, I could be wrong, but one of your big-time players, I'm talking about LT, the original LT, sold a Super Bowl ring, or his Super Bowl ring was sold. I'm reading an article on Yahoo. I don't know if you know this or not, hold on a minute here. Let me see if I can bring Black in here.
I know who bought the ring. I know who bought it.
Supposedly, according to Jay Glazer, a fellow wild man in the entertainment industry supposedly bought his Super Bowl ring for, get this, at auction, $230,000. Charlie Sheen, we're talking about, of all people. And what I'm reading here is he has an extensive sports memorabilia collection that includes Babe Ruth's 1927 World Series ring and the contract that sold baseball great from the Boston Red Sox to the New York Yankees. And he also owns the infamous Bill Buckner ball. Wow. I mean, what do you think about that? And then I'll bring in Black.
You know, I knew Charlie Sheen was a baseball fan. He played high school baseball, and he pitched in the movie Major League. I didn't know he followed other sports, and I didn't know he was investing in memorabilia. So that's all new. And I don't know his intentions with the LT ring, but he owns it, so he could do what he wants with it. So.
Right. All right. It's a little into the show, but better late than never. We bring in my other co-host from the D.C. area, talking about the bookie, Black, that is. Talk to me, my man. Good evening. We finally got you on the board. I can actually see you and talk to you. Talk to me.
Excellent. I'm hoping I'm clearing HD into you.
Well, you're welcome.
Let me tell the joke. I'm very sorry for his loss today. It makes our matchup even more scintillating for that first game of the season, buddy.
Well, we're talking about the NFL. We just got finished talking about Lawrence Taylor. I'm going to jump over and still say talking about the NFL. And your boy, Mr. Jenkins, from the Cowboys. What's up with him? Now he feels he got disrespected. Now he wants to get traded. Talk to me about that.
Oh, I heard somebody had this Twitter account and everything wasn't true. But if you heard something more than what I heard, please feel free to speak.
Well,
I think his Twitter account was hacked, so I'm not sure if he made those statements or not.
From what I understand, he wants to be traded. I guess he's not happy with the situation in Dallas, so he wants to go somewhere.
Why would he not be happy with the situation in Dallas?
Hey, what can I tell you?
Terrence Newman is gone. We brought in two free agent corners. Go ahead and compete for your spot, man. You're a football player. Football players compete. He deserves to leave. Is that what he's telling me?
I'm just asking, my man. This is your man in Dallas that wants to be traded. He's going into his final contract. They added two prominent cornerbacks, and I guess he feels like, you know what? You added these quarterbacks. Trade me. I want to go someplace where I'm gonna supposedly get a fair shake to get to start. I imagine that's why he's saying that. So
is Mike Jenkins kidding himself? Where has he been at the one to trade right now? Besides the engine.
I'm just,
if he wants to leave, he's free to go. I hope Jerry Jones does make that move. It's smart to have depth at cornerback. You want to have four corners going into a season. But if he wants to go, let him go. Good riddance.
Well, Jason Garrett said he's not going to trade him, so I guess you never can have too many cornerbacks. And he's going to have to suck it up, and sooner or later show up. He has been at OTAs, but sooner or later he's going to have to show up when it's mandatory. So anyway, I want to stay in the NFL.
Contract. Stop whining. That's the thing with all these guys whining and complaining about trades. Perform on the field and you'll be fine, man.
Wow. Okay. We got the hard hammer, Black, today. Okay.
Yeah, I'm tired of the whining and sports, the flopping, the complaining. It seems like the sport is going soft all of a sudden, man. I came up as a kid, I saw tough nosed guys playing football. We need things to go back to that.
Well, speaking of complaining, or you being tired of it, the Players Association is suing the NFL, claims the league had a secret cap. Let me read this little article real quick, and then I'm going to ask you guys to give me a response on it as soon as it comes up. Come on, don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. Here we go.
They need to put Goodell back behind the woodshed, man, because Goodell's doing some very underhanded things right now.
Okay. This is an article coming from SportsWorldReport.com, and quite naturally, I said the Players Association is suing the NFL and claims the league had a secret cap. They filed suit on Wednesday against NFL, claiming the league and its team owners acted in collusion by agreeing to a secret salary cap in 2010 in order to suppress player salaries. This is the second time in less than 2 years that the NFLPA has filed such a claim. If they win, they will be awarded damages that could reach $1 billion. The new suit filed in U.S. District Court for the District of Minnesota, which they always love to do in Minnesota because I guess Minnesota is very labor-friendly. Comes after an arbitration hearing in which the Cowboys and Redskins sought to reverse punishments for the league for spending too much on salaries in 2010, an uncapped year. During the hearing, the NFL stated...
Repeat that last statement you just said.
I said the Cowboys and Redskins sought to reverse punishments for the league for spending too much on salaries in 2010, an uncapped year.
All right, I'm going to make sure y'all paying attention to that, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead and continue.
They lost that arbitration hearing, so the Cowboys have to deal with the punishment. The Cowboys and the Redskins have to deal with the punishment for spending too much in 2010. During the hearing, the NFL stated the teams attempted to gain an unfair advantage by front-loading contracts in order to pay players significantly more during the uncapped year and gain financial flexibility in the future. It has been reported that the league told all of its teams to avoid such tactics or risk sanctions. The NFLPA claims that this was an act of collusion. Okay, so they said don't spend too much money or you're going to get penalized for it, and the NFLPA says this was an act of collusion. According to the suit, there was a secret $123 million salary cap in 2010.
Ridiculous.
The four teams that exceeded that number were subsequently punished by the NFL. The worst offenders, the Cowboys and the Redskins, were stripped of salary cap money over the next two seasons. The Saints and the Raiders were denied extra cap money taken from Dallas and Washington that was distributed to the other teams. The NFL reasons that since only four teams exceeded $123 million, it further proves there was a secret cap. The NFLPA reasons that since only four teams exceeded $123 million, it further proves there was a secret cap because front-loading contracts would benefit every team. But the fact that the teams refrained from excessive spending does not alone prove collusion. Furthermore, the NFL is aided by a clause in a new collective bargaining agreement that states the NFLPA releases and covenants not to sue the NFL for collusion with respect to any league year before 2011. It has been difficult several days for the league and Commissioner Roger Goodell. Last week, and you guys know this, Goodell was sued by Saints linebacker Jonathan Vilma for defamation of character, and Vilma claims the commissioner made false statements that hurt his ability to earn a living playing football. And you guys know Vilma was suspended for the whole season in the Saints bounty scandal. And Commissioner Goodell responded to that, saying that he would release publicly the proof of the bounty scandal. And referring back to one of the last things that I said, that in this last contract, supposedly the NFLPA, and I'm not reading this, I heard this on ESPN, that supposedly the NFLPA is claiming that the NFL strong-armed the Players Association in negotiations with the contract, saying that that they were going to reduce the salary cap if they didn't agree to the contract and have this language of releasing and having the players not be able to sue for collusion in any year before 2011. Now the NFLPA says that that was unfair and they had collusion and they want reparations. It was long and drawn out what I said, but I want your guys' response. I'll go to Jeff and then we'll go with Black.
Yeah, I've been listening to, you know, this from different reporters, and, you know, this is just instinct. I'm not an expert. It sounds like they got a case. There is some precedent, and this is the kind of thing the judges will get into. The baseball owners back in the 80s had to pay up for collusion.
Right.
So it really sounds like they have a case. So, you know, let justice take its course.
Black?
This is absolute foolishness, ridiculousness, and any other isness that you want to use. How in the hell could you have an uncapped year and then agree to a secret salary cap? What the hell is a secret salary cap, by the way? What is a secret salary cap? I've never heard the term in my life in any sport but the NFL. You're going to an uncapped year, but yeah, you tell guys to keep their spending down. Why? The year is uncapped for a reason. This is foolishness, man. I hope they bring all hell to Goodell and the rest of those goons up there in the NFL. This is foolishness. And so I guess that the Redskins and the Cowboys didn't agree to this quote-unquote secret cap. So this is why we're penalized. This is foolishness. I can't wait until they get to the bottom of this whole investigation.
So you're saying, just like Jeff, that it looks like the Players Association may have a case here? Is that what you're saying?
You can't have an uncapped year and then go behind closed doors. Oh, yeah, by the way, we know the year is uncapped, but we want you to keep your spending down to this amount of money. That's collusion.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, I have to agree with you. I'm just playing devil's advocate here and just trying to see where both you guys are coming from. It seemed like we all three of us agree that the if you tell keep your spending down or face the consequences, that sounds like collusion to me from the highest person in the NFL. So they're suing the NFL, and I don't know if we talked about this, but I want to talk about it again if we did. What do you guys think about Jonathan Vilma suing Roger Goodell for defamation of character? Basically saying, it never happened, I didn't do it, show me. Make public the proof, and quite naturally, Roger Goodell stepped up to the mic and said, the proof is going to become public. He didn't say when, but he said it's going to come public. What do you think about that, Black, and then Jeff?
Well, if Goodell has proof, and it's proven to be, this was a big misstep by Jonathan Vilma. I think that Vilma was banging on it. They didn't have any evidence convincing him. He flatly denied paying anybody any money for this. So if Goodell has the proof, I want to see it.
Jeff.
Yeah, I'm sympathetic to Vilma. And, you know, it's not the same thing as the court of law, but the punishment they give him is pretty harsh, and he should be able to see what he's accused of and address those accusations. So, you know, there should be more due process. So I'm sympathetic to Vilma.
All right. I'm going to play this commercial. I've been playing it every week, every show I'm on. So I'm going to play this commercial, and then we'll come back and talk some NBA because it should get interesting for the next tonight and tomorrow, or Saturday, I should say. Be right back.
Indu Studio 9 and Corrupted Nature Entertainment presents Wasted Wednesday's Reggae Hip Hop Showcase, hosted by D-Champ CEO, with 93.9's DJ Analyze on the ones and twos, starting Wednesday, April 25th, and every Wednesday following, at Ross Lounge, 4809 Georgia Avenue, Northwest. Doors open at 9, ladies free till 11, and $5 after. Men $10 all night, $3 Ross Punch, $100 bottles, and group of 5 females get a free bottle of champagne. 21 and up to enter. For showcase sign up, contact D-Champ at 202-440-6550. Be there.
Anyway. Anyway, before we get to the NBA NBA games,
this non-profit organization known as the NFL. Boy, I'll tell you.
Let's get to the that's another thing that they have a tax write off as a non-profit organization, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow. All I can say is wow.
you know about that, right, Jeff?
I heard that. You know, these are very wealthy guys. They know how to make and keep money, and it's all except for the Green Bay Packers. Every NFL team is private. Their books are closed, except Green Bay. They're publicly held, so nobody sees their books. That's the way to make money.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about this.
They get the same exact tax advantage as the soup kitchen.
Yep. Yeah.
And soup tax.
They're downtrodden.
That's a whole nother stuff.
They're downtrodden. What can I tell you? Anyway, let's talk about the big man, the one in the middle, the one that's on TNT, Mr. Mumbles himself. I'm talking about Shaq Daddy. Supposedly, he was interested. I don't know if he still is. Well, it says he's not interested anymore. But at one point, he was interested in the Orlando Magic's GM job.
Now, the big Aristotle.
Yes. I don't know if you guys got any opinion on this. Apparently, he thought better of it. And decided he had a lot of other interests, and he didn't want to get, if he got the job, didn't want to get burdened down with being a GM and dealing with Dwight Howard. You guys got any opinions on this? I'll have to go to Jeff first and then Black.
I heard that right before the show that Shaq isn't interested in that job, which I think is a good decision on his part because he lives in Orlando. He's loved there, and why mess that up? And I'm sure he has a very nice life now that he's retired, and he doesn't have to work. But I think he's a promising analyst. He knows the game. He really knows the game, and it's a good call on his part because running an NBA team is not easy. And all you got to do is look around. Look at Michael Jordan. I mean, he's more than a GM. He's an owner. But a lot of great players were not great executives. So the big man made the right call.
Black.
Yes, I am the big Aristotle, and I'm going to continue doing my police work in the community of Orlando. And I'll stay commentating on TNT.
Okay.
Move by Shaq to try to be a GM. Come on, Shaq. Let's be serious, man. Doing a good job on TNT, you do that. When you're done, remember you made your promise you wanted to protect the community. After you're done with your gig, go ahead and be that police officer you want to be, man. Leave the GM stuff alone.
right. Let's talk about this. The last game that the Miami Heat won was an extremely physical game. A lot of cheap shots, a lot of physical play. Shabron took some shots instead of Shabron standing up for himself. Some other teammates stood up for Shabron. And those two players are suspended now. We're talking about Mr. Haslam and Mr. Pittman are gotten suspended multiple games. One got suspended a game, and the other one got suspended multiple games for cheap shots against Indiana. I think this is going to be the norm for the rest of this series, for however how long this takes. We got two more games left, and quite naturally, the Heat are up.
Why are the series in the East taking so long? Why is Philadelphia and Boston going to a Game 7?
What?
This is craziness.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Philly, yeah, a lot of people underestimate, and I said this more than once, a lot of people underestimate the Philadelphia 76ers, and especially underestimate Doug Collins as a coach. Doug Collins has been in a championship.
I give Doug Collins all the credit in the world. He is an excellent coach. But come on, you're going up against the Big Three with that championship experience.
Big Two.
Boston had the series over with. No matter what you tell me, no matter what you feed me right now, Boston had the series over with. You're talking about an Indiana team going against two superstars down in Miami, missing one superstar. I know the bench isn't that strong, but come on, Spoelstra, you got to do a better job of coaching. Why are these series so damn long? Look at the Western Conference. We're ready for the Western Conference finals.
The teams in the Western Conference are quite naturally are better than the top teams in the East. The two top teams in the East has flaws. Miami has flaws, and Boston is old. So the 76ers did last game, they wore the old legs of the Boston Celtics out with quicker legs, fresher legs that the Boston couldn't deal with. In Indiana, just like I had said before, Indiana has to play a physical, ugly type of game, and that's the way to beat the Heat. You play it ugly, keep the game close, that's the way you beat the Heat. Quite naturally, the Heat tore them a new butt the last game because Indiana has to respond. You see what Larry Bird said? He couldn't believe his team came out soft. I've never heard a team president, I can't recall, a head guy other than the coach, somebody in the management above the coach, come out and says he can't believe that his team played so soft. That's a slap in the face to a professional player that you're playing soft. And Larry Bird, Larry Legend, Mr. Executive of the Year, Mr. MVP, Mr. Coach of the Year, the only one to do that, came out and said his team, he couldn't believe his team played soft. What do you think about that, Black? And then I go to Jeff on that one.
You were running them down like they announced Manny Pacquiao. You definitely was running them down right there. But, hey, I got to agree with Bird, man. You set a tone in every series that you play. You set a tone that you want to keep throughout that series. And Indiana, they looked lackluster that last game. Hopefully they come out. I understand people like to see LeBron and Dwayne Wade, but I haven't watched but two games in this series. I really don't like the Eastern Conference this year. All the Western Conference games have been exciting, and I'm looking forward to Oklahoma City versus San Antonio, which I think will be a tough series.
Okay, Jeff?
I'm scratching my head about Indiana because the last game, they should have been feeding it to Hibbert all night.
All night long, exactly.
I'm scratching my head. Didn't he start the All-Star game? I mean, I don't get it. Because, you know, Miami's depleted. And I don't get it. I don't know whether he's worried about drawing fouls because Miami's flopping all over the place, but that's nuts, you know. Play your game and let the chips fall where they may. And if they get the ball to him and he has a good night, he could be a game changer. I mean, I don't get it.
You got no Chris Bosh, no Udonis Haslam, and no Pittman for this game. If Hibbert doesn't go for a double-double in this game, they don't get that ball to Hibbert, they have no chance of winning the series.
Right now,
you
got to
take advantage of the breaks that are right in front of you. And this is a huge, huge break for Indiana, a huge break. And they need to take advantage of that. Hibbert is
right.
Not 7'1". He's almost 7'2" out there.
Right, exactly.
Feed him the ball. No matter what, I know you like shooting threes, but feed him the ball. Take care of your advantages. That's how you, that's championship basketball. You take care of the advantages. And that's what they need to do.
Well, right now it's about 10 minutes in the second quarter, and it's 28-28. So we'll see what happens. I keep saying this, and I'll say it until I'm proven wrong. You got to make the game ugly, especially if you don't have the same ability as Miami. You got to make the game as ugly as possible and keep the game close. That's your best chance to beat Miami because Miami doesn't play well when the game is close. They get that SNS, which is a syndrome I brought up with the acronym. It's SNS, which stands for Small Nuts Syndrome, and that's what happens with Miami when the pressure's on. The nuts get small.
Let me correct you. Not Small Nuts Syndrome. Shrinking Nuts Syndrome.
I'm sorry. Shrinking Nuts. You're right. I'm sorry. Shrinking Nuts. I'm sorry. Yeah, I misspoke. Shrinking Nuts Syndrome. You're exactly right. And it's been proven over and over again. It's not like I'm just bringing this up and hating. It's been proven over and over again that they are front runners quite naturally when the game's easy and they're up by 10 or more. But if it gets close and it's a fourth quarter, shrinking nuts are in play, and the opposing team has a very strong chance of pulling it out because of that.
Are you guys watching that game right now?
I am watching. I am definitely watching the game right now. Yes, I am.
Is there a one Juwan Howard in the game?
Yes, he is. He is definitely in the game. And Miami is looks like they're going to go up. He walked. 34-30 was 8:56 in the game. So they basically went on a. They were losing by four, and they went on an 8-2 run, 10-2 run. So, anyway, we'll see what happens.
I want to interject. Keep your eyes open, because as the game goes on, I heard Miami's actually going to play Eddie Curry.
Wow.
That'll be a...
And Eddie Curry in the same game? Oh, my goodness.
They're reaching far. They're reaching back. They really want this game. They really want this game. Speaking of games, quite naturally, the Kevin Durant and the Oklahoma City Thunder put away their opponent, and so did San Antonio, and they're waiting to play this weekend, but they put away the Lakers. I'm talking about Oklahoma. Now, what happens to the Lakers and Kobe? What happens to Andrew Bynum, Paul Gasol, and company? And what happens
to
the coach?
Bynum is going for surgery, so he's going to have the same knee surgery that Kobe had. So it'll be on ice for a minute. As far as Kobe, he needs to go back and love to see how he got those championships. I don't see how you can go for 42 points in the elimination game and not have one single assist.
Wow. Is that right?
Not one assist.
Wow. Wow. That's That's unheard of. I don't know if that's ever been done before, Black.
It's been done just a couple of days ago. We brand new. Oklahoma, and that game five series. If I'm Mike Brown in the offseason, I'm talking to every offensive guru there is, and I'm trying to formulate an offensive game plan, because to this day, I still have yet to see what the Lakers' offense is.
Well, my question is this. Is Mike Brown one and done, or is he going to get another chance? And you know the team's going to get retooled. Cup says shakeups in store for the Lakers. So
I don't know. I mean, you got guys. You know, Van Gundy just got fired in Orlando. You still got Jerry Sloan out there in the market. You never know. You never know with the Cup checks. We'll see what happens.
Well. I don't know, man. I'd be very surprised. I wouldn't be surprised, because I don't think Kobe's too keen on Mike Brown anyway. And I really can't blame him, for the simple fact is that he's used to Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson helped him win several championships. He's used to that triangle offense, and then Mike Brown is bringing in whatever type of offense he's bringing in. Which didn't work out. Created a lot of dissent in the team. One of his best friends on the team, Derek Fisher, went to the opposition that beat him in this round to go to the Western Conference Championship. So,
and I don't know if you remember Phil Jackson saying that he didn't want to coach Kobe on the downside of his career. And now I see why.
Let me ask you this then. Since you say that, you think Kobe's – how far on the downside you think Kobe is? Because he seemed like he can still do it when he wants to.
He can still do it. He just lost the step. It's going gradually. He lost the step. He can still do it. But it definitely is going towards the downside of his career now.
Okay. Jeff, you want to jump in here anywhere?
Got to give a lot of credit to Kobe. I mean, I think the calendar says, what is he, 33 years old, I think. But he didn't play college ball. That man has played a lot of basketball. He's been in the NBA since he was 18. He didn't play a lot his first year, but he started, I think, the next year he was sixth man. And ever since then, he's been playing a lot of minutes. He's been playing a lot of long seasons with deep playoff runs, and he's played a lot of basketball, and he looks like he could still do it, but the question is for how much longer. And I don't know, but what I'm hearing, the moves the Lakers are going to make, they'll probably move one of their bigs, and it'll probably be Gasol, because I guess he's older than Bynum. But both of those guys do Houdini acts.
How do you go through a series with 2 7-footers and get out-rebounded by Oklahoma?
Yeah, you're asking me? Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And, you know, the thing is, at least Gasol isn't an off-the-court distraction. And, you know, Bynum, as good as he is, you know, he's a little immature, but... they got to do something. They're not going to come back with the same guys. Just a question of what. I'm curious, believe it or not, if I don't think they'd want to. I wonder if they're going to bring back Odom.
Oh.
I
don't know about that. I mean, that's just another 7-footer that, in my opinion, is a head case. You think Gasol and Bynum were schizophrenic? Lamar Odom could play a all-star type of game one game, and for the next week after that, or next several games, next 10 games, you hardly ever see him. And he's got a world of talent, and I have no idea. I mean, he's probably one of the softest big men going. That's one of the things I wanted to ask you guys. You think that that Paul Gasol and Andrew Bynum, what type of player do you think they are? Let me put it that way. I'll go to Jeff first and then Paul Gasol. What type of player would you categorize both those big men as?
You know, I can't figure out Gasol. I mean, you know, this may sound nuts. Some of these foreign guys, it used to be really easy for them to lie about their age. Because I remember early in his career, everybody called him Gasol. You know, he didn't play physical defense, but he stepped up his defense. But and he's one of the reasons Kobe was able to get a ring without Shaq. That's the big difference. They brought in him, and then all of a sudden the Lakers are back in it. But did not look good this year, and Bynum is a head case. A lot of talent, but they'll probably, you know, more likely stick with him just because I guess he's younger. So, but neither one of them is the total package at this point. But maybe that's why there's talk of and the Lakers. Whenever a big name guy's available, you know, since they're a marquee team, everyone talks about them. That they might trade their two big men for Dwight Howard, and now there's talk that Orlando's going to finally get rid of Dwight Howard. So. Who knows, but I'm sure the Lakers are on the list of where Dwight Howard wants to play today, but it'll change his mind tomorrow, so who knows with that guy.
Black?
Gasol is a very skilled but unaggressive player. You were a coach on the team, you would love to have a 7-foot guy with his type of skills, but you can't bring the dog out of him. I'm with Jeff. If I'm the Lakers GM, I'm on the horn with Orlando right now. I'm saying, hey, take these guys off of my hand. Give me 2 7-footers, bring in Dwight Howard. And then I'm making the call to New Jersey. I'm saying if I can get Deron Williams to come in and run the point for me, then Mike Brown can sit down and figure out what type of offense he wants to run and just run with that. And that'll be the last month for Kobe.
Okay. All right. Well, we come to the end of this show. We got like a little, like, 2 minutes left in the show, a little less than 2 minutes. I'm going to run down all the shows, and then I want you guys to give me your parting shots. Tune in next week, 8 o'clock. FSP crew will be in effect, as always. And also on Saturday, on Friday, it will be Mac Williams and myself. We'll be going at it straight up. No Chaser is a program. It starts at 7 o'clock. The fray will start at 7:01. It'll end for an hour, after an hour, I should say. And then on Saturday would be the FSP show, the mothership, the fathership, whatever which kind of ship you want to call it. Be Vic Gardner as the host. I'm the co-host. Black jumps in. And we have several people jumping in and out on that show. Master Plan will be on Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm the host. Come join me. Come talk about anything you like. It's always open forum on Sunday. And then Compassion Dakini, a complete 180 from what we do on these other several shows. Compassion Dakini with Kim Fund starts at 4:30 on Tuesday Eastern Standard Time. Come join the front with her, and she has a very interesting show. We got about a minute and a half. I'll go to Jeff, close out what he has to say, and then Black, and then we're out of here. Talk to me, Jeff.
Be careful, be safe, have a nice holiday, and try to remember the brave people who gave up their lives for us.
Black?
I second that notion by the Joker, people. They're gonna sell you a bill of goods with this horse that won these two racing events so far. They're gonna sell you on the Triple Crown. Don't believe it. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it at all. Right now, I have another. His trainer is facing some hearings about some type of milkshaking they're doing to the horses. That should be a scandal that probably blows up soon. And to my man, Kent DeGormo. Kent, come on, man. I beat you up on the show a couple of weeks ago. I told you you was my money jockey, man. And now I find out you're an alcoholic. They kept you off the horses. Come on, man. I need you to get things together. Me and you, we had a lot of winnings between us. I need you to get back on that high horse, man. So that's my parting shot.
With that being said, have a safe holiday. You guys have a good time over the weekend, and we'll be talking to each other same time, same place next week. With that being said, I'm JT, along with Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. We're out. See ya. Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, log on.